WrestleTalkRadio.com.
This is Rob Van Dam. You are listening to WrestleTalk Radio. Oh.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment, WrestleTalk Radio.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
This is the Rated R superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho.
I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake!
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling in the WWE.
It was right here in this room my father taught me. He said, keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
TNA.
What are you looking at, lady? Never seen a pair of boots before? Mind your business.
I think that's a man.
Oh, she needs a wax or something.
You're right.
Ew.
And the indie scene.
Hey, everybody, this is Xbox. This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
Hey, everybody, this is good old JR Jim Ross.
With your host, Tim Stein.
Your internet slow. Did you disable cookies?
Omega.
Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who is the fairest one of all?
Mace.
Why so serious?
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
Did you know I'm utterly insane?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Have a nice day.
Yeah, baby.
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It is our post-pay-per-view coverage of WWE's TLC pay-per-view. And of course, on this holiday season, everyone needs a little bit of TLC. Hopefully you did not put your family through as many tables as Orton was through tonight. But we're here to discuss that and many things else. This is Omega, the be-all, end-all of our little network. Joining me tonight, we have Mace.
Shh, I have a box full of Japanese people.
Mace is unboxing Japanese people.
Damn right.
And everybody goes silent.
Were there air holes in the box at least?
No. No, but they come wrapped in paper.
Australia's a weird...
I'm sorry, I'm distracted. This is what happens when the postie arrives just before showtime. You should know that very well, shouldn't you, Omega?
No! Because I don't do shows when the mailman arrives. You know, we're in normal times right now. You're in the funky... You're in the daylight. What's wrong with you?
A lot of things, but the psychiatrist can't tell exactly what for sure.
Also joining us tonight from the rack, we have Lindsay.
My ovaries need TLC after tonight.
It's been a roller coaster for you tonight, hasn't it?
And I haven't even seen Total Divas yet. I hate you, creators of Once Upon a Time. I hate you so much. And Bray Wyatt, I hate you too. Not really, but I hate you right now.
Too much spider walk?
Too much spider walk. No, you don't understand. The end of the Once Upon a Time winter finale and Bray Wyatt's match happened in the same 10-minute stretch.
Oh my god.
That damn spider walk.
I'm amazed you're with us right now.
I couldn't, like, I didn't see any of the main event. I've been trying to kind of recover. I saw the finish to the main event, I should say. That's about it.
Lindsay, brain exploded!
Brain, ovaries, everything. I just sat here afterwards and I'm like, I think I need a cigarette.
Just like, you know, like a scene from Terminator 2, just like the T-1000 just trying to pull himself back together.
No, it's more like the Grinch laying on the side of the mountain gripping his chest going, oh my god, the feels.
Yeah.
Follow that.
There is no following that. There is none. Rock, you try to do it.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on Wild Talk Radio Network, presented, as always, by Memlane Promo and PWMania.com. As they just said, we're here to recap WWE tables, ladders, and chairs, where lots and lots happened.
And that's our summary. Now, moving on to the news of the week.
Right. So, what we have for you tonight, we're going to break it all down. If you have an opinion, please feel free to pick up the phone. It's 267-297-1397. And we will put your comments on the air. The show started out with the pre-show, of course, on WWE YouTube and the app and every other location you could possibly imagine. And for the first time, we actually had some sort of physical confrontation between a panelist on the pre-show and a wrestler, being The Miz and Kofi Kingston. What was up with that?
Well, it was obviously set up for something.
Well, yeah, it was, but...
It was the eventuality of having The Miz on the panel.
Right. You also had Mick Foley looking like Santa Claus.
Well, it's Mick. It's what he does.
It is what he does.
Right there in Houston, Texas.
Oh, he was going for the cheap pop, even though no one in the crowd could hear him. But on the pre-show, we saw Dolph Ziggler take on Fandango. Thoughts on the match?
It was there.
It was solid.
It had Fandango winning. Why?
Because the people still like themselves some Fandango.
There was why?
Because of Summer Rae.
Why?
Because she's special? And he has things that light up? I don't know.
Because she's got legs that go on for 6 days. And he has a light-up sign.
There you go. So, as May... Spirit,
so, hold on. So, Fandango and Summer Rae are the equivalent of jangling your keys in front of a 2-year-old?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, as Mace mentioned, Dolph Ziggler lost to Fandango after a distraction from Summer Rae. Are we surprised that Fandango won?
Only in the fact that usually on the pre-show, you kind of expect the face to go over because they're trying to get people happy and hyped for the pay-per-view. So, it does get kind of weird. I don't know. When the heel wins, it just kind of seems like, eh.
It just goes to show how far Dolph Ziggler has indeed fallen.
Oh, my God. I feel so bad for Ziggler. He had everything going for him.
And then he got hurt.
It wasn't even the concussion, which, okay, the concussion didn't help, but somehow he got in the doghouse and still has not earned his way back out.
Yeah, that is kind of sad that he's in a doghouse, and it's a shame that he's in there because he's one of the better performers that they indeed have.
Oh, yeah. That was a huge opportunity to make a new star out of someone who was young and fresh and just ball completely dropped. All for the sake of, quote, punishing him.
It's the wrestling business, Mace?
Oh, yeah, but it's one thing to be punished for something that you say that gives the company bad press or makes the company look bad, but it's another thing to continue the punishment for what are we in now, like month 4 of the punishment since he said it?
Are we sure he's still in the punishment or this is just going to be his career?
I think at this point this is going to be his career. He's going to be the enhancement guy.
He'll be the guy who can give you a good match when you need it and put the other guy over.
like I said, he's going to be the enhancement guy.
Oh my god.
Well, if you think about it, people have made a good living just being the enhancement guy.
Living, yes, but not what they deserved.
Did Gilbert really deserve much more than he got? Did Barry?
No, Gilbert is not Ziggler. Ziggler actually has the talent to actually carry some weight in that company.
Well, there's nothing to say that a year from now he's going to be in the same place. For all likelihood, he may be. But it may just be they don't have anything else for him right now because he was in punishment mode for so long, they moved on without him. And now they've got to get him kind of back into the storylines and into that kind of mode.
That's the hard part, reading it from the outside, because there's punishment, and then there's, let's see how much shit he can take. If he sticks through it, then we've got a company man. You know, there's two mindsets when they go about someone like this, and it's hard to tell which one is actually dominant.
I mean, I refuse to believe that they don't know what they have in Ziggler. I refuse to believe that. I think they know what they have. I think they see the talent there. It's just something of how to utilize that talent the best. Because, you know, while we all love Ziggler, we all adore him, and he absolutely deserves to be on top, not every guy can make it to the top. And that's just something to keep in mind, too. I mean, it's... I don't know.
Well, it's also the fact that you take a look at the way Ziggler's been. He's either been pushing mid-card, or he's been practically the pre-show opener for the last God knows how long. You know, this is a guy who should be... if he's not being pushed towards a main event shot, he should be a guy who's floating around like a fly around the US or IC title divisions. But instead, we have him on openers, we have him on pre-shows, which in itself is a very important job. But at the same time, a lot of people looking on the outside don't realize how much of an important job that type of thing is. And they're just seeing a guy getting squashed and buried.
I mean, at least he's getting booked. At least we can say that.
At least he's not Zack Ryder.
There you go.
Or Zack.
Well, let's face it. This year, Zack Ryder's had more appearances in flashbacks than he has on actual matches.
That's sort of the sad truth about it.
You know, at the very least, it's... what's the sad part is, if you're Zack Ryder this year, the best thing you can say is at least you're not Curt Hawkins. Because at least people realize that Ryder is still employed. I forgot Hawkins was still around.
Well, good news for Curt Hawkins, he finally got his action figure.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It was part of the WWE.com feature when they showed everyone got an action figure, including Curt Hawkins.
Okay, when does Tony Jimmel get his?
2017.
And that'll be a Build-A-Figure.
Right, you have to buy like all the Total Divas to build Tony Jimmel. Including Eva Marie.
Eva Marie with bonus Tony Chimmel head.
That's so wrong.
Here's the thing, like, you remember the days when you, like, there's this big thing about, you know, you can't have Al Snow figures with a woman's head in it, because that's promoting violence against women, but you can have a bunch of severed body parts of managers and announcers packed in with all these.
It's cool because they're dudes.
Oh, yeah, it's fine to dismember guys. There's nothing offensive about that.
No, of course not.
Welcome to sexism and the double standard that it is.
So Fandango, as we said, picked up the victory. As they were closing out the pre-show, the kickoff, we saw a limo arrive with Triple H, Stephanie McMahon, and Vincent Kennedy McMahon. Vince is back.
Yay!
And speaking of the Authority, they are the ones who opened up their show, basically talking about the importance of the title match later on, and said that the winner will indeed go down in WWE history as the champion of champions. And they named the belt.
Champion of champions, otherwise known as Fuck You Jericho.
Pretty much, yeah.
Chris Jericho was on Twitter today saying, basically, headed for Houston. Maybe?
So, Jerotrol in action.
Pretty much. And people bit on it hard. Our opening contest of the evening featured CM Punk battling The Shield. We'll go to you first, Omega. Reactions.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm a bit distracted now because there's for the last 5 minutes, there's been a helicopter circling my neighborhood or something.
What did you steal?
Run, dude. They found Nothing?
You. If you hear something crash through my window, just tell my family I love them.
Thoughts on The Shield versus Punk?
Very high adrenaline match to get things started. You know, and if anyone's going to do it against three guys, it'd be CM Punk. Very good match. It worked. You know, they actually did work a really good, clever match. Punk trying to outwit The Shield and beat the numbers game the whole time. It's a strange setup to have a 3-on-1 in a pay per view, but at the same time, it really did make for an interesting match. You know, something you don't normally see. And of course, we got to see it twice. This event.
Yes, we did, and we'll get to that one later on in this recap. Mace, Roman can fly?
Rocket ship Roman. Fuck me, that guy could take a dive.
Rocket man.
Pretty much. You know, it's a great dive, got good distance. Unfortunately, going to have to take a few points off from the landing.
Yeah, he kind of missed the landing when he went for the spear, Lindsay.
Yeah, just a little bit, and it looked like he whacked his eye on somebody's chair.
JBL's.
But yeah, poor Roman. I hope if it is legit, which I always question whether it's an actual legit situation or not. I hope he's okay, and I hope he's feeling better. But this was a phenomenal opener. And I was really surprised this opened the show, because you and I were talking about it the other night, and we were saying, oh, well, you know, we were thinking either the tag match or, the IC title match was going to open.
Right.
So I was really surprised that they had this open, but I was glad they did, because this set a wonderful tone for the show. Punk and The Shield went out there and tore the house down, and just... it was great, because 3-on-1s, like everybody said, are iffy.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all trying to figure out how they were going to do this one and the one that was later in the show with Bryan and the Wyatts. And this was a really good example of how to do a 3-on-1 correctly. Especially when you have the guy who's outnumbered go over.
Yes, that is a good way to do it. What do you think of the finish, Mace?
It was quite interesting to watch. I think all of us here had the Roman Reigns spear coming out of nowhere being a main factor in the finish as to how and who got hit. Well, yeah. I think that was... That, I think Omega got close. It was probably the closest, but somebody else got hit.
I called it last week. Almost to the letter. I didn't name a member of the Shield who was going to get speared last week, but yeah. Other than that,
Dean took a huge spear from Roman Reigns, which allowed CM Punk to pick up the victory for his team. Joining us now to give his insight, the one and only Spud Guy is here.
Eh.
Tremendous.
Thank you for your insight.
tremendous insight from Spock. What do you think what do you think of the Shield versus CM Punk?
I enjoyed it. I quite honestly. Oh, pardon. quite honestly, I think it should have been higher on the card.
Mm-hmm.
You're telling me you couldn't have opened with Brodus Clay, or
the way I had it figured was you opened with the tag title match, and this would have been where the Wyatt match was.
No, I think the Wyatt match is fine.
Oh,
I
go ahead.
Booking wise, putting Brodus Clay in that match with R-Truth or the Miz Kofi match where it was made very little sense other than timing. You could have opened with Miz Kofi or the other one. You could open with Sandow and Big E. It didn't matter. I think the CM Punk match should have been higher on the card. But that's personal opinion, and that's neither here nor there. It was a good match.
It was indeed a good match. As Lindsay foreshadowed, CM Punk picked up the victory. Where do you think CM Punk goes from here, guys?
Goes on holiday.
Goes on holiday.
Yeah, I think
hasn't he been working with Bruce Ribs or something like that for the last little bit?
Yeah, he has.
So maybe it's time for him to sort of take a couple of weeks off and let himself heal up. You know, unlike a certain Superman who doesn't understand that healing takes time.
Well, they got a week full of tapings. I don't think he's going to be taking time off any time soon.
Are we really going to keep cracking on John Cena?
Mace called this the best booking of the year following the CM Punk match with an AJ Lee promo.
I had a happy. Hey, you had a very hot, very good opener, and then you go into an AJ Lee promo. I do not see anything wrong with this combination.
Reaction to the promo itself.
Very subdued for AJ, but at the same time worked well with the character.
I think it speaks volumes about AJ that she can wage this one-woman feud against the entire Total Divas series, and it works.
It does work. What do you think, Lindsay?
I'd have to agree. I actually really liked how intense she was, because we all know AJ can just be crazy, but I liked how she wasn't as crazy in this. She was very intense. She was very serious. She meant business, and you could tell tonight she meant business. And that promo gave me really good feelings about the match, because it's like it's her and Maddie, so you know it's going to be good, but you don't know how good it's going to be. And it's just like, after that promo from AJ, it's like, one, this is going to get really good really quick, and two, I kind of started to wonder, well, is that AJ basically calling the shot that she's going to lose?
Well, that was the question, because there's been a lot of rumors surrounding one AJ Lee today that she's going to be punished for things. But that didn't take away from what next matchup was. The Divas title was on the line. AJ Lee and Natalya Omega.
Okay, Mace, I counter your point. Okay, Punk versus Shield, then AJ promo, then AJ versus Natalya. That's best booking of the year.
That's called icing on the cake.
Damn fine match. Great Divas match. God, you know, I wish they went longer Divas match. You know, those are the two best girls they've got on the roster right now. You know, I really would have liked to see what they do if they had, you know, an extra 5 minutes to kind of turn things up and go for a few more false finishes, which I'm glad they actually kind of went with, breaking through each other's finishers, especially Natalya, because I don't think I've seen anyone break out of the Black Widow before.
No, I don't think anyone has broken out of the Black Widow. I also enjoyed the breakout of the sharpshooter, Lindsay.
That was really nicely done. Both counters to both moves were really, really, really well done. It helped build that intensity, because before, we haven't seen anybody break out of the Black Widow, as Omega said. So it shows that it can be broken, and then also you see AJ's cleverness kind of coming into play with her breaking out of Natty's sharpshooter, and really that will to survive and keep her title.
What do you think, Mace?
Very good match. Considering that the promo beforehand was talking about how that there are a lot of jokes in the women's division right now, having the two biggest non-jokes in the company put on a spectacular match for a women's division match, loved it.
You could tell that this meant a lot to Natty, as well. She came up on the short end of things and was crying after the matchup. What was your reaction to the entire match, Spook?
I didn't get to see this one because I had a 10-month-old jerk who needed to go to bed.
I love how you call your kid a jerk. It's fantastic.
He's an asshole.
It only took 10 months to go from, like, daddy's little boy to he's an asshole.
No.
He's still my boy, but he's an asshole.
He was an asshole, I think, the first week.
He was an asshole the first week.
Parenting 101 with this one guy. So AJ Lee, as many were doubting, was able to actually retain the title. Up next on the show, Big E Langston took on Damian Sandow.
Don't ask me about this one either, because kid was a jerk.
Kid was a jerk. Okay. Omega, was your kid a jerk? Were you able to see this one?
No. Of course. If there was a kid being a jerk in here, that might explain the police helicopter that's been around for 10 minutes now.
They're coming for you.
I didn't do anything tonight.
Just that one time.
Shut up! You know nothing.
The government finally got around to listening to those OTL archives.
Explain why the cops have been driving around my house lately.
What were we talking about again?
Big E and Damian Sandow.
Oh, the other match with big tits in it. it was a match. You know, it felt like something I could have seen on Raw. You know, just okay, just to kind of fill out the cards. It's not bad. No real complaint. Just no real shining point either.
Mace, Sandow shirt?
Probably should have asked Lindsay about that one. She likes that shirt probably a lot more than I do. I like the idea of it, but you know, for an intellectual like Sandow to wear a type of shirt where it's just I greater than you, it just grammatically makes no sense, and somebody in that type of gimmick should not be wearing it. It was very dumbed down for that type of character.
All right.
But other than that, the match I actually enjoyed. You know, Big E and Sandow was a half-decent match, as I predicted. And Big E goes over. Yay.
All right, Lindsay, thoughts?
I thought this was a really nice come-down match from the opener and from the AJ Natalya match. This was a good way to kind of cool the crowd down a little bit, help them sort of breathe from two really, really good matches. Sandow and Big E put on a nice performance. It was solid. I did like Sandow's shirt just because it's like, I don't know why. I liked it. I thought it was well done. But then again, I'm a topography dork, so go figure. But the match itself was really nice. It helped bring the crowd back down a little bit, calm them down, to go into the next couple contests.
So yes, as Mace said, Big E Langston retained the Intercontinental title. We then saw Vince McMahon talking to Randy Orton backstage and basically wishing him luck in the encounter later on tonight, which then led us to the Fatal 4-Way Elimination Match, the Rhodes Family, the Real Americans, Rey Mysterio and Big Show, and Rybacksel.
God, I hate that name.
I don't think anyone's a fan of that name. Just pointing that one out. So, I'll go to you first, Mace. Thoughts on this match?
I sort of tuned out during this one. Multi-tag matches, like, multi-man tag matches, that's fine. But when you have, like, a Fatal 4-Way tag match that's elimination, my brain just switches off. I'm sorry, like, it's just too long. It drags the show down. It kills the pacing. So I just sort of just go, you know what, I'm going to go stare at a wall for a bit.
All right, Omega. Reaction to the match.
Fatal 4-Way tag?
Yeah.
No real issue with it. This was actually a really good match. You know, Rybacksel? Ugh. You want to talk falling in the ranks? You know, I made the comment in our chat. Yeah, that, you know, Axel now has to lean on the star power of Ryback.
How you terrible know, is that?
You know you've fallen far in the world.
Or is Ryback relying on Curtis Axel's star power?
Well, Ryback's the one who gets his music played, so that's how I'm designating the food chain at the moment. No. And it was also said, Big Show and Mysterio. Yeah, other than Mysterio following Big Show around like a yappy dog, as it was stated, or remember the old Warner Brothers cartoon where it's just one big boss dog and the little one is
That just popped in my head as soon as you said it. I'm like, yeah,
that's exactly what it was. So. Yeah, it just felt meh. But, you know, props to Goldust, who just proved why he earned the Comeback of the Year Slammy.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
He was sort of the real star of this matchup, wouldn't you say, Lindsay?
Oh my god, he was tremendous. Good lord. I don't know what else to say other than he's amazing and he's definitely, to pardon the pun, proving his weight in gold. Seriously, he
broke out a Hurricanrana.
Right?
Okay, the dude is 44 years old, breaking out Hurricanranas and fucking Code Reds. Shame on the announcers of not making a bigger deal of this. Because for a guy his age and probably the destructive force that has happened to his body over the years to be pulling out moves that are done by guys, you know, half his age? Fuck, man, that's awesome.
DDP yoga pays dividends, I'm telling you.
DDP yoga, now with magic healing ability.
Apparently. I mean, good lord. But, yeah, this was a nice way to bring the crowd back up. It was a really... I like that they gave this match time, and they gave it a lot of time, so they didn't have to rush through the eliminations, which allowed for a really good, strong match, especially when you got down two teams, if I could talk, in Big Show and Rey Mysterio and Goldust.
Right. Eliminated first was Ryback, thanks to Goldust. The second elimination occurred when Big Show knocked out Cesaro as he was coming off the top rope with the knockout punch. There were a lot of counters in this matchup, including Spug, Rey Mysterio pulling off a powerbomb.
Which was sick.
Wasn't it?
here's the thing with that match. I would normally tend to agree with Mace on the pacing and time of multi-man or multi-team tag team elimination matches. But in this particular case, I was a fan of this match because it kept up the pacing. It didn't allow the match to get dull or stale, and it kept going. I am in agreement with both Mace and Omega, though, when we were talking in the chat while watching the show. I wouldn't have put Rybacksel in that tag team. I mean, yeah, they're an established team, but honestly, you're bringing in people like the American, you brought in the American Wolves to NXT. You couldn't have treated that match kind of like a match to establish maybe another tag team or a different tag team. The days of putting two top stars together, quote unquote, and just making them a tag team are over. If you're really trying to reestablish the tag team division, then use tag teams.
Like maybe the Usos?
Yeah.
The Usos have gotten a lot of chances, though, especially when the Shield was holding the tag belts. I was thinking, like, where was Los Matadores? You know, the guys who have won every tag match since they debuted.
They were in our next segment.
That was shilling.
They were in our next segment.
Along with the primetime players.
Yeah. So, it came down to Cody Rhodes and Rey Mysterio battling back and forth. Cody eventually hit the crossroads for the victory.
I love this spot when they're going back and forth trading counters left and right, where he catches the 619 and carries Rey all the way into the position for an Alabama slam, and Rey still counters out.
It brought me back to the WrestleMania encounter.
Yeah, it kind of did.
The counter segment was nice.
The crowd really got into it. We're really expecting either side to pick up the victory. Speaking of both sides, they showed respect to one another following the match. It's unusual in wrestling. Sign of some respect. You saw it a lot.
You mean competitors can actually like each other?
Right. You saw that a lot with Big Show. There's a spot. He let Goldust get back up before they started the final fall of the match. It was nice storytelling.
Storytelling.
Yes.
Now I just want to quickly jump back for a moment. Swagger's selling of the punch along with Cesaro's fucking awesome. Like, Swagger gets hit and he just goes ragdoll and limp. Cesaro jumping off the top rope, clocked in the face, and he's dead.
Right.
See, that's how you sell those punches, people.
That is how you sell the punches. We had then the Brawling Buddies promo with Los Matadores, primetime players. And then with Vicky and Brad Max fighting over Dolls, and then
Great Khali.
Great Khali was in there. And then you had Vicky and Maddox fighting over Ryback and Cena Dolls. And then out came Kane.
Complete with mood lighting.
Complete with entrance theme and mood lighting.
Sin Cana.
he ended up taking the Dolls and then, well, ended up with the Brodus Clay one. For some reason, with an evil smile.
I watched Kane play with stuffed toys.
The world is changing.
Hey, Omega. Kane's coming to take your job.
As Omega tries to...
No. God.
Go ahead.
You know what this segment was missing?
What?
Ron Simmons.
Yes, it was. So as we try to find Ron Simmons to put him into that segment in the replay, we'll be back with more WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network as we gotta get into the other handicap match and who walked out the new WWE World Heavyweight Champion. We'll get to that and more on the other side of the break. You're listening to Wrestle Talk Radio live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra. Weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply dabomb.com.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns,
after 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moments. And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
The first award was crowd participation. Your choices were Fandangoing, Yes, Let's Go Cena, Cena Sucks, and What's Up? Sub, what's your pick?
I think I picked Cena Sucks.
No, you didn't.
What was it? You're great.
Great. I love these picks.
Sub, you picked Yes, Yes, Yes.
Oh, yeah, Daniel Bryan, of course.
Yeah!
why didn't I hear that? You didn't say that.
Yes, I did.
Yes.
And that was the one that won. Got that right.
Sure. Holy shit.
But because you changed your pick...
No, I didn't hear the option of Daniel Bryan yet. The guy's magical. He's a magical little guy.
The LOL moment of the year. Your choices were The Great Khali and Jinder Mahal try to snake charm Santino's Cobra.
You know, when you say it like that, that sounds so wrong.
I know. So
I'm going to say I went with the first one where they try to chain the Cobra.
No, you didn't.
What did he say?
He said he picked the snake charmer. No. No.
Well, see, that's what I figured I would go with.
That's what Rob picked. You picked Titus O'Neil throwing up. You were wrong. It was the Rock concert.
Jesus, I was way off there.
Insult of the year, Sub.
Fuck, I have no idea what I went with. I'm going to go with the Big Show and Stephanie.
Congratulations, you picked the winning one today.
Yeah.
Today.
Can I trade in the ones when I like get a roll off them? Do I trade two of them in for a win?
Diva of the year.
I'll go with the Funkadactyl chick. No, because I know it was AJ Lee. Do I want to win now?
Hold on.
Or do I stick to my gun?
So which one are you picking?
Funkadactyl.
All right, so you picked AJ last week. You picked the Funkadactyls this week. Ace and Crispy picked AJ. That's all wrong. Rob picked the Bella Twins, and the Bella Twins won the award.
Suck it, bitches.
When you calculate everyone's pick, CB Radio and WTR pick. Subway, you were 500. You were 4-4. You did the best out of everybody.
Oh my god.
Wow.
Oh my god. Wait.
Down.
I think my mind, I think my head just exploded. I'm done. I'm
thinking something disconnected from my brain.
Hank taking calls, I came to kick ass tonight.
Tune in to CB Radio, Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Thursday night, we bring to you The Rock.
These people yearn for enlightenment. Who do they have to turn to? Who do they have to place upon a pedestal so that they may bask in the glow of their own essence? In short, the answer is no one.
We bring you a complete recap of Impact Wrestling, along with all of the latest news and unique discussions about the world of professional wrestling.
Sure, there are those who attempt to appeal to the unwashed masses, but they are nothing more than false prophets whom I will expose.
Join us Thursday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern, for The Rock.
I am the bright beam of enlightenment that will serve as the avenging sword of taste and decency.
Redefining pro wrestling talk from the fans, for the fans, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You're welcome!
You think you know me?
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge. You're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And as we tease going to break, we will be talking about the Wyatts and Daniel Bryan here in a minute. But up first, Kofi Kingston took on The Miz, Omega.
Okay, I know typically we go to Lindsay as our fashion correspondent.
Right.
But I can't help but notice they actually put the black guy in watermelon print tights.
Yeah, they did.
It's just so unintentionally wrong. It made me laugh. This was just like another one of those matches I could have seen on Raw, and I feel like I did see it on Raw.
You have.
I know. It's all both of them seem to be doing right now.
All right, let's kill that.
Sorry, we're under attack by Rice Krispies.
Right. Let's see what happens when we do this. Let's see if it works the second time. Apparently not. Anyway. So we might get a spug guy here in a minute. So yeah, the match was just a match.
Left the crowd cold.
Base, what'd you think?
Yeah, it was just a match. Unfortunately, this match had the unfortunate circumstance to be number 350,000 in a series that we've already seen plenty of times in the last couple of months already. So it was hard for them to keep it fresh and exciting, but yeah, it just wasn't a great match. It wasn't even really a good match. It was just a match.
It was a match, and they basically used the exposed turnbuckle for the finish, Lindsay.
They did. This was, you know, this could have the potential to be something if they actually, you know, bother to tell more of a story with it than what they are. I mean, we're seeing Miz and Kofi slap each other around. It's obvious they don't like each other. You could do a lot more with this and help elevate Kofi and The Miz and help to build them back up after they've been beaten down for so long. But unfortunately, they're just not willing to do that, it seems. And as Mason Omega have said, it was really just a match because we saw it on last pay-per-view's opener. We've seen it on Raw. And it's like they keep having this same level of intensity. And, yeah, it built into a no disqualification match where they were smacking each other around pretty good. But it's something of there's no real reason, and I hate to say this, but there's no real reason to really care other than, you know, they keep slapping each other back and forth. I mean, it's kind of almost like watching a wrestling version of Dallas. Or it's just like a slap fest.
Right.
What's unfortunate about it is we know what both of the guys are capable of. I mean, Miz was main eventing WrestleMania, and he actually has the wrestling chops to do it. Kofi can wrestle some really high adrenaline matches. We know they can turn it up way higher than they have been, but both have been just restrained for some reason.
Yeah, and Lindsay, don't mention Dallas because you may choke.
I won't mention Philly either because Philly may choke too.
Hey, we didn't choke. We just lost. There's a difference.
To Minnesota.
You know what? You almost lost to the Redskins just when they went out.
Yeah, but we won.
For your third time this year.
Hey, you know what? A win is a win. I'm not going to doubt it. We won. You lost. Deal with it.
And we're still first place in the East. Anyway, getting...
I'm so happy I'm not a football guy.
Right. Kofi Kingston picked up the victory, and the question I want to ask is the following. Who's in a better position right now, The Miz, Kofi Kingston, or Dolph Ziggler?
Wow.
Think about that one for a second.
Oh my god.
That's like saying, which lame dog do you want to take out in the backyard and shoot in the back of the head first? You all know they're going to end up in the same spot.
But who would you rather be?
I'd probably give it to The Miz just because he does so much media work for the WWE. He's really high up with people backstage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he feels like one of those guys where you can build him back to that main event spot if you need it. You can bring back the credibility he had when he was main eventing Mania, when he was against Cena. Ziggler, he'd be like a year-long project getting him back up, and then Kofi never got there to begin with.
So yeah, there you go. I wouldn't want to be any of them at this moment, except for, I guess The Miz, because, well, he can do movies as well. So, as I said, Kofi kicks in, picked up the victory. Yes, Mace.
And Muppet Soads.
Muppet Soads as well. We then...
Oh my god, I saw that.
Yeah. Before this match, I forgot to mention, we had Brodus Clay versus R-Truth. It's so entertaining, Omega was playing with toys.
I'm following Kane's example.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, we'll go with that.
Brodus broke up the family, damn it!
Yeah, because he's a main event player.
Just like everyone around him just hit the fuck you button simultaneously.
So does that mean the Funkadactyls go with Tensai?
They go with Tensai, or maybe they go with Xavier Woods? I don't know. I don't know where, or they just go kind of into the Divas division, and I guess they're a Divas tag team?
That's okay.
It's totally okay. Maybe they could actually entertain the idea of doing Divas tag team titles.
All right, let's not go that far.
Let's not have crazy ideas here.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? Bri put it out in the universe. I'm just, you know, helping it along. Since we know WWE listens. Hint, hint, wink, wink.
Right.
And we also have a mole on the phone call.
Yes, we do. Mace?
No, not me. But we have to wonder at this stage, if the Funkadactyls break away from Brodus Clay, do they have to change their name to the Tensodactyls?
Ew. Jeez. I really do hope they go with Xavier Woods. I really do. I just... I wouldn't, like, I was really gearing up for, like, Brodus and Tensai to just be this monster heel tag team that we kind of need in the division right now, and just, I'm still hoping that Tensai kind of goes to the dark side as well, but right now, because, if only because I have no idea what the hell you do with them if you break this team up.
Alright, the better question is, what have they been doing with him for the last 6 months? Exactly. Nothing.
Unfortunately, you break them up, what's going to happen? They're going to feud.
I don't want to see those matches.
No.
Coming tomorrow night on Monday at Raw, Brodus Clay versus Tensai.
And coming up Tuesday night on your local dirt sheet, the firing of Tensai.
No. WWE Royal Rumble presents your main event mid-card, Tensai versus Brodus Clay for control of the Funkadactyls.
So, are they going to be on a pole?
Funkadactyls on a pole match?
Yeah.
Seems only natural.
It would be the Vince Russo thing to do. Anyway, R-Truth won. Just putting that one out. Even after Brodus went all heelish on his crew.
That's the thing, though. Like, the whole story here was Brodus going heel against his own people. The fact that R-Truth was even there just happened to be coincidental.
Pretty much.
But did anyone else get that feeling that it was sort of like the match just became a very secondary feature in this whole thing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it just wasn't just me. Okay.
It's basically, we're gonna turn Brodus heel. We need a mechanism to turn Brodus heel. Quick, throw a match on the pay-per-view.
Yeah, it was just an excuse to put him in front of the camera so they could do it.
Just imagine the limits they have now with a heel, Brodus Clay.
I am terrified at the possibilities.
Vince McMahon was wishing John Cena luck later on, but this brought out Bray Wyatt, Eric Rowan, Luke Harper, better known as the Wyatt family, to take on Daniel Bryan. Omega.
I actually didn't get to see much of this one. I got busy because I'm kind of behind the eight ball right now.
Oh, Mace?
I thought we should send this one over to Lindsay because this is her match.
No, we're saving her for the big finale of this. Thought.
God damn it. This pretty much went the way I envisioned it would. It was going to be the Wyatts beating down Daniel Bryan getting as little comeback as possible, but hitting some big moves. And in the end, Bray hitting Sister Abigail and being creepy as fuck and talking like a boss during the match. It was what it was expected of this match, and it was good. This was the thing I thought would make this one go from being just, oh my god, why did we book two handicap matches on a pay-per-view, to, well, this is going to be an interesting story development. However, I will say one more thing. Bray, if you're going to hug Brian's head like that, do not try to stuff his face into your armpit. You will kill the poor boy.
We'll get to the cradling here in a second, Lindsay.
This was the one match on this show I was really unsure about. I couldn't make a pick on it. That's how unsure I was. This was basically welcome to the dance, the Wyatt family. They finally, and this isn't meant as an insult, but they finally had a good showing on pay-per-view, especially Bray.
Right.
He finally showed up to the dance and had a fantastic match. This went, like May said, this went exactly as we all figured it would. It was Wacka Bryan. But they did some really wonderful things in here, including the fact that they fixed the chair. Well done, WWE. We were kind of worried there for a second.
Yeah, they did. They did break the chair on SmackDown.
They did break the chair, so the chair got fixed. But they did some really wonderful things in this match. We saw Luke Harper get thrown over the announce table. He kicked Michael Cole in the face, which was tremendous. And then the spider walk. Can we just, like... My God, the spider walk.
Talk about it.
The last time he did it on pay-per-view, it didn't come off so well because his feet got ahead of his hands and he fell over. And the last time he actually used the assist of the corner. This time, he just sort of bent up into it, which made it about three times as creepy as it normally is, and then he walked. And his feet did not, like, he was really intentionally careful, you could tell.
Yeah, the first time he did it on pay-per-view, he went really, really fast. This time, he took his time and did the walk.
And, oh my God, it was creepy. It's like, holy crap. He should be able to do that. He shouldn't when you look at him. And that's why it's like when he does it, it's you just sit there and your jaw just kind of hangs open like, oh my God, dude. But yeah, I'm actually going to have to go back and rewatch the majority of this match because, and I knew this was going to happen because unfortunately, they put this match on in the last 10 minutes of the Once Upon a Time season finale, or winter finale, and it was kind of like all the feels were exploding at that point.
Right.
So it's like I missed kind of like the first half of the match, or I was like had one eye on the TV and one eye on my computer, so it was like, I don't know which one to watch. But from what I saw of the match, and what I remember of the match, it was really good. Everybody looked strong. And I really liked how they finished the match out, where you have Bray counter the Yes Lock, and he takes it into the Sister Abigail, and he does the Sister Abigail on Bryan to finish the match. And you have Bray get the pin.
You had, Rowan tied up in the ropes. You had Harper. I think he was taken out on the outside. There was a lot of creative spots to get it one-on-one to Bryan and Bray. And I think that was a smart move.
I would agree. I would definitely agree because that means the story can continue, especially as you had Bray cradling Bryan after the match was over.
There was a point during the match where Bray Wyatt was basically saying, we can end this all. He was offering basically his hand to end it all. Just join us, and the beating will stop. And then after Bryan basically turned him down, the beating got intense from there.
Yeah.
So,
well,
go ahead.
Well, I'm curious to see. I'm really excited for Raw tomorrow, by the way. But I'm curious to see where this goes from here. You know, as far as Bray obviously kind of got what he wanted,
mm-hmm.
It seems.
Yeah. So the Wyatts pick up the victory, and they just, as Lindsay said, they cradled Daniel Bryan in his arms. At the very end of after the match was over. Any other reactions?
Bray Wyatt's wife, I hate you.
Oh no.
Omega or Mace, do you hate Bray's wife?
Nah.
You're good?
I'm good.
Yeah, anything you want to add to the match?
Not really.
This then brought us to the main event, the unification tables, ladders, chairs, WWE champion versus the world champion, Randy Orton and John Cena.
This is about the point where I realized they didn't do what they normally do for TLC and cram in a tables match, a ladder match, and then the chairs match, which is something that never made sense to me.
Yeah, they only had the one really gimmicked up match, besides the no DQ, which is only using for the exposed turnbuckle. So yes, it was TLC. Thoughts, Omega?
I did like the match. I thought it was a really good ender. Really, a lot of hard spots, a lot of big hits, a lot of little clever spots that I thought, I'm pretty sure I've seen that before, but it's still kind of cool.
Right.
There's a few things that bug me. I said it in the chat, and it's worth repeating on the air. I hate when they set up a table and don't use it for like 15, 20 minutes.
We'll talk about that table. That table played a big part in this match.
Yeah.
But we'll get
see if Cena needs a neck operation soon.
Right. We'll go to Lindsay. Thoughts?
Again, I don't remember the majority of the match, aside from really the finish.
Randy Orton hit a lot of tables.
Yeah,
Randy Orton hit a lot of tables. I liked that John Cena was more high risk in this than he has been in the past, including the dangle spot where he fell from the suspended belts. That was a nice spot for him. We can definitely see that John Cena's maybe taking a little bit more risks now since he's not absolutely 100% vital to keep the shows going. But I liked it. I liked how they worked together. Again, Randy and John, you really can't go wrong with them. I liked that Randy handcuffed John Cena to the bottom turnbuckle or to the bottom rope.
Bottom rope.
To keep him off the ladder so Randy could win the title. It was kind of sort of a clever way to win, to basically try and win without duct taping somebody to a ring post. John Cena, I'm looking at you. And you saw Cena again use his intelligence to, hey, let's unscrew the rope from the ring post and climb up the ladder, which again led to the spot where Cena dove headfirst into a table. I really hope he's okay. Like, really, seriously, I hope he's okay. But it was a nice, I really liked the finish of the match. I really enjoyed the finish of the match. And I liked that they didn't go, oh my god, yay, Cena wins.
Right.
I actually liked that Orton won.
Mace?
I had the same problem as Omega. When they set up the table, I saw the table and I'm like, I kept watching. Okay, so you're not using that table straight away. All right. I'm going to go watch something else and leave the audio on. Somebody call me when they hit the table spot. That actually killed my reason to watch the rest of the match.
All right.
Because it was basically, you had table in the corner. They're not using it. They're hitting tables out everywhere else. All right. I'll just wait until the audio says, oh my god, somebody's gone through that table.
That happened.
Oh look, somebody did. Oh wait, it was Cena going head first.
Yeah.
Poor bastard, I hope your neck's alright.
It wasn't even head first. His head was the only thing that hit it.
Yeah, pretty much. It was like, I just love how afterwards on the replay they're, oh my god, this is the point where John Cena went through the table, and it's like the tiniest fucking bit on the end is bent in. And they're treating it like he's the table has exploded. As for the outcome of the match, Randy wins. Yay. Okay, so we're gonna get the rematch at the Royal Rumble.
Mm.
Where Cena's probably going to take the belt back and he'll have his face off with the Royal Rumble winner. Okay. That's cool. See you next month. I'm sorry, but this match the way the ending sort of botched just made it all feel anticlimactic. Especially when you had Orton climbing up, he stops, he looks around, he takes it, the whole thing of Orton taking it in just made it seem so lackluster.
There was a moment, because we are kind of smart marks in that way, where Randy Orton seems like he's waiting around, looking around, where you start to wonder, is Cena supposed to be knocked the fuck out right now?
Right?
just makes you stop. Or okay, how hard did his head hit that table? Because Randy Orton looks like he's waiting for something.
Mm-hmm. So
I'm just amused that for as much as we call him Superman, Orton went through three tables and won. Cena went through a table and lost.
Yeah, well, sort of went through a table.
So does that mean that? Well, we all know that the Cena's kryptonite is tables. That's always been his kryptonite, is tables. Or going through things. So I guess this would make Orton Bizarro? No? Nothing? Okay, fuck you all.
There's a couple spots. We had a Cena shovel right off the ladder, and he got shoved off the ladder, and Randy Orton hit an RKO. There was a punt spot where then Cena went through the Spanish announce table. As the dangling spot, he got knocked down by a chair shot. And then he got Cena went through almost went through two. Well, he won, actually. Orton got driven through the one table by Cena. And then, as we said, we had the handcuffs to the bottom rope. And then the spot where he was still with the bottom rope was attached, climbing up the ladder, and he got pulled off. Like, he was trying to jump off the ladder and just sort of slipped.
I like the whole spot where they're doing, where they're playing a tug of war between the bottom rope and the handcuff chain.
Mm-hmm. My only issue was with it was, I guess his arm is healthy because they were doing it on the one arm that just got repaired. I was like, don't pull off his arm, Randy. Don't tear the muscle. Just one of those things. They used the bad arm for that. I was like, wow. Must be healthy. But yeah, he sort of like slipped off the ladder, and that's why he didn't go crashing through the table like we thought he probably would.
I think we would have had a very different reaction to the finish of this match if Cena had actually gone through the table properly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As opposed to he slipped, yet he still knocked himself the fuck out. Orton.
Should they have had Orton do another spot with Cena and put him through the table?
No, because then it just would have looked crap. It would have looked crap at that point. Yeah, the worst thing you can ever do in one of those types of things is go to replay a spot mm-hmm. when the first time it's fucked up, because then people know it's a spot.
Or not even a spot, for just to go and redo it, you know, or to throw in something else. Think back to Angle versus Lesnar at Mania, where he misses the shooting Brock press, and then they have to BS, you know, an F5 ending instead, and it doesn't quite work.
Yeah, but you're also looking at, you have Cena slip off the ladder, doesn't go through the table properly. The second Orton gets off that ladder, the moment's broken. You know, it's Randy Orton. He's on the ladder. Cena's off. Why not take advantage?
Right.
If he goes to do something else, then it looks like he's just making sure. And that just doesn't seem right. You know, he's got his advantage. Cena fucked up. Why try to put an exclamation point on it when you can just reach up, grab the belts, and go home?
Right. So there you have it. Randy Orton is your WWE World Heavyweight Champion. Everyone's making a big deal. Oh my god, they're calling it the WWE World Heavyweight title.
No. He's the World Heavyweight Champion.
Heavyweight Champion, right. Oops.
I love that. It's the biggest moment of our sport. Oh shit, spell check. Oops.
Oops. Our bad.
Kind of spoil that.
Right. Spell check. But yeah, but it's always been the WWE World title.
That's the thing that bugged me about it. It was like, everyone said our very first WWE World Heavyweight Championship. I'm like, that's what we used to call it.
Right? Alright, I want to give them credit. It was the WWF World Champion. If you want to use that loophole. Anyway. That's tables, ladders, and chairs. Now, as far as picks went, Chris Michael and Vincent went 6-1. Omega myself went 5-2. Ace Kent Mace went 4-3. King Hens, Brent, Lindsay, and Reigns, Roman, and Subway went 3-4. And Rob, unfortunately, went 1-6. So there's your pick'em. Play along as you hear during breaks. Saturday night.
Hold on. Subway went 1-6.
No, 3-4.
That's Subway went 3-4.
Yes.
Okay.
He went 3-4 on Saturday. What will he do this Saturday? It's like the game that never fails. It's like he always repicks. It's tremendous. It's why we continue to make commercials every time he screws up. It's fantastic. But there you have it. The picks for tables, letters, and chairs. At this point in the show, it is now time for our great debate.
Welcome to this week's great debate.
Oh my God! Wait a minute! It's Paul Bear! It's Paul Bear! And that's gotta be Kane!
And I am the new millennium for the World Wrestling Federation. Now, for those of you who don't know me, I am Chris Jericho, your new hero, your party host, and most importantly, the most charismatic showman to ever enter your living rooms via a television screen.
If this is who we think it is, and we have every reason to believe that this is the human being that has been stalking the Undertaker's wife.
Now, step into the ring with us for this week's great debate.
This week's great debate is as follows. The debut of The Undertaker versus the debut of Alberto Del Rio Lindsay.
Who is it?
Undertaker and Del Rio.
I gotta remember Del Rio's debut now.
Bunch of aristocrat promos.
And Taker just walked out as part of a Survivor Series surprise. You know what? Screw it. I'm going to go with my bias, Taker.
Exactly. Omega?
That is hard. You got to put your legacy. You got to put the legacy of Undertaker aside and base it purely on the debut itself. I can't remember if he just kind of walked out. They have any kind of build up whatsoever? Because I know he came out with Brother Love.
I think he was teased. There was like the tease was there was going to be a secret member to DiBiase's team, but you didn't know who it was. And then like Taker was revealed as the secret member, or whatever, the last member of DiBiase's team. And that's how they did it.
God, you know what? I hate to do it, but I'd give it to Del Rio. Fuck, I hate to do that. But it was built better. His character got across before he ever showed up for a match. He comes out in the big fancy car that, you know, which is a intro we hadn't seen in a long time. You know, he has his own ring announcer. You know, Taker comes across. Oh, it's this surprise guy. He's big. You know, and he looks like a zombie. You know, okay, that's well and good. But, you know, Del Rio comes out with all of this kind of gravitas, I guess.
And between that and the proper build up, I hate to do it, but I'll go Del Rio.
All right, Mace, it's on you.
It's on me. I'm gonna give it to The Undertaker. As good as Del Rio's little promos were, his debut in the end, he came out to talk down the Rey Mysterio. That was his debut. The Undertaker was a surprise, and he already had that grandiose majesty about him that still carries through to the character today. Sure, he came out with Brother Love, whose, you know, blood pressure is higher than any number ever recorded, but still, he came out and people were in awe of this guy, whereas Del Rio was just this rich guy playing wrestler. So I'm going to give it to The Undertaker, mainly because, well, as I'm watching right now, the first thing he did was kick the shit out of Bret Hart. And anybody who debuts by kicking the shit out of Bret Hart is all right in my book.
Oh, that reminds me. There's a line earlier from JBL's commentary. He said, you know, Calgary is nice and all. It just felt, you know, it would be better without the Canadians. Just point that one out. And he was called Kane the Undertaker when he made his debut as well.
Yes.
Alright. Mr. Perfect takes on Curtis Axel. Omega.
Perfect.
Why?
Because Axel's was crap in the first place. I don't even remember Mr. Perfect's. But Axel's left such a low impression on me that I'm positive it was better.
Okay. I'll give you a little bit of help. Mr. Perfect's debut was up against a guy called Mike Richards.
I don't care.
That racist.
Mike Richards, he was a white guy.
Yeah, like I said, racist. Michael Richards, the Seinfeld guy who screamed the N-word. Anyway. Lindsay.
Okay, now, for Axel, are we going with the original debut where he came out with Husky and attacked Cena?
No. Curtis.
We're going with the Paul Heyman.
We're going with
McGillicuddy doesn't exist.
McGillicuddy doesn't exist. We're going with the Curtis.
Well, I didn't know. That's why I'm asking.
Yes, we're going with Curtis the Axel.
Honestly, I'm going to go with Curtis just because there seems like there was more pomp and circumstance when Curtis Axel debuted. There were rumors flying around that there was a new Paul Heyman guy. Who was it going to be? And then, you know, Curtis Axel debuted and we all went, huh? But still, there was rumor, there was excitement, there was buzz. You know, he gets automatic points for debuting with Paul Heyman. He gets automatic points for winning the IC title within a certain amount of time. But yeah, I'm going with Axel. Sorry.
All right, Mace.
Once again, I am the deciding factor. You know what? Even though it was against a guy called Mike Richards and had absolutely no fucking fanfare whatsoever, I'm giving it to Mr. Perfect. because frankly, you take Paul Heyman out of the equation and you pretty much have the same type of entrance. And I'd rather give it to the original than the remix.
There you go. Remember, he was Kurt Axel on the Titantron thing gimmick when he first came out.
Yeah, he debuted and they hadn't even finalized his name properly.
Right. Alright, next week on The Great Debate, it will be the debate of the debut of Paul Bearer as he takes on The Shockmaster.
Oh
let that one sit in there for a second. Yes, we're debating the Shockmaster's debut. And Boogeyman takes on the debut, the WWE debut in 2001 of Rob Van Dam. I want to hear some great arguments for the Shockmaster next week. Just putting that one out.
I hate you. Hate.
Hold on. Who's going up against Van Dam again?
The Boogeyman.
Ooh.
You got some phlegm in your chest. I don't want to get that out.
Right. No. When I said that, it was not in my chest any longer.
Do my precious next.
I don't have the throat for it, my precious, right now. If you catch me on the right day, I can actually do a decent Smeagol.
All right, quick hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits. Wow. That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
All right, so we'll start with Lindsay. Lindsay, if you had to choose to not ever wash your bed sheets again or not wash your bath towel ever again, which would you rather not wash and why?
Bed sheets.
Why?
Because the bath towel would get really, 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 really gross just from being used and having to dry and then reused. Whereas the bed sheets, at least you can Febreze them.
There you go. Mace, if you were a Microsoft Office program, what would you be?
If I was a Microsoft Office program, what would I be?
Uh-huh.
As I go to look at my Office programs, paid for legally, of course. Bullshit.
Someone paid for it.
Somewhere.
Somehow.
I would be Microsoft Outlook.
Why?
Because I'm a decent program that does what is needed, but yet nobody uses me as frequently as they should, because there are always better alternatives.
You always lose out to Gmail.
Thunderbird, bitch.
Omega, if Abe Lincoln and George Washington got into a fight, who win?
I keep remembering stories about Abe Lincoln wrestling bears. But you know what? He's got Abe's also got the height and reach advantage. You know, and Washington might have been, he might have been military, but he's also a general. So what the fuck does he know about fighting on the front line?
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I've never heard of George Washington Vampire Hunter.
Yeah. I've never heard of that.
It's coming. Give it time.
It's a prequel. Yeah, giving it to Abe.
All right, Lindsay, if you could have two celebrities as your parents, who would they be and why?
As my parents?
Your parents.
Crap. You know what, Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen.
Why?
because it would be amazing.
Alright. Mace, if you were a kitchen utensil, what would you be and why?
If I was a kitchen utensil, fucking hell. You must really be running low for good quality questions, Rock.
I got that one from a list of questions they ask on job applications. One of the strangest questions a company asks on a job application. Yeah. That's where that one came from.
I would be I'd be the kettle.
Why?
Get me boiling and I'll burn your ass.
There you go. And finally to Omega, how would you get an elephant into a refrigerator?
With a very, very large blender.
But why would you kill the elephant?
You didn't say it had to get in there alive.
But he's got a point.
But still, you would kill an elephant?
If I had to get one into a fridge, yeah.
All right. But if you couldn't kill the elephant, how would you get it in there?
I'd have to find a bigger fridge now, wouldn't I?
But is there a big enough fridge to hold an elephant?
Yes.
Yeah, there is. Okay. You know, if I absolutely positively had to, I could go take it to a vehicle test chamber. You know, where they actually try to see where they actually try to test out vehicles in sub-zero degrees. Yeah.
I feel like you're trying to get somewhere
with this, but it's not going to happen.
No, I'm just saying.
Industrial warehouses.
There you go. No, I'm more amused that you think you can actually, you know, move an elephant around. That's all. There was nothing behind it. It was just, I'm curious.
There's people in the circus that can do it. I'm sure it's not that hard to figure out.
It should be your goal for 2014.
Are you kidding? Could you imagine what would happen to an elephant in Florida?
Ringling Brothers is going to be here later this month.
See? There you go. Something to do. Ladies and gentlemen, Omega is going to the circus.
Get me a blender.
Is that police helicopter still circling his house?
No, it seems to have lost interest.
Just wait. It'll be back. They're listening.
Yes, yes, indeed they are. That will wrap it up for another edition of WTR Sunday Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Monday night, it is the Raw Post Show at 11:30 p.m. Eastern, as we'll recap everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Thursday night, Lindsay, the Rack.
We're going to be talking all about Impact, TLC, and a whole bunch of other stuff that I have no idea. But yeah, tune in for the Rack Thursday night. And also, don't forget to send us your questions for Ask the Rack. Submissions close as of Friday. So make sure you send that to us so that way we can answer all your questions. They can be Christmas related, or you can send us any question you want. Just remember, snarky questions get snarky answers.
Yes, the Rack. Ask the Rack. Christmas episode will air on Christmas week. So please send in your questions by Friday evening. I would ask about Games Garage, but I guess that's on hold till you figure out what you're doing.
Yeah, I've got to tweak it a bit more for PlayStation 4 streaming. I tried the other night. It's not quite working as I intended, but we shall see. Keep an eye on the Facebook page as to what's going to be happening probably sometime after New Year's.
You can check out that Christmas show Saturday, midnight-ish, for CB Radio. We'll get all weird, wacky, and unusual. about Christmas. But Friday afternoon, you can also check out the Rack Extra Total Divas Episode 15 review, the final episode of the Rack Extra Total Divas for Season, I guess, 1, as Season 2 will be airing sometime in 2014. So check out that. Check out that Christmas show for CB Radio on Saturday, midnight-ish. And then we'll be back next Sunday night for another edition of WTR Sunday live at 10 p.m. Eastern. You can follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Check out WTRProductions.net. Omega, plug.
Let's see. Over at Twitter, it is TJ Omega. Over on Facebook, it is TJ Reviews. And there is TJOmega.org. You can also find all of my stuff over at YouTube at TJ Omega. Stay tuned. I've got an entire month of videos that are only halfway done, and you'll have to watch to find out what liquid Dumbo tastes like.
I knew you were putting up elephants. It's tremendous. Mace, plug your Twitter.
It doesn't fit into the holes. Okay, follow me at the Mace Thing. Don't try Facebook, because I hate everybody. And, yeah, that's pretty much all I got, because I'm a boring bastard.
Lindsay.
You can follow me on Twitter, at LinsWard, L-A-N-S-W-R-D. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you go under the Contact Us section, there is a link to my Redbubble store where you can buy select versions of my artwork. So please go check that out. Buy, support me, because I'm poor. Also, check out RackRadioShow.com, CastyRiley.net, and buy the official t-shirt for the Rack Wear Rock.
One of these days you'll learn to go to ProWrestlingTees.com/RackRadioShow.
Why should I learn it when you know, just repeat it off?
Exactly. All right. So for everybody who's been a part of this show, thank you for listening. We'll be back next Sunday night and all week long right here along the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network and Canadian. We're coming for you. Just pointing that one out. Good night, everybody. Yeah.